This episode is brought to you by Archie, a leading cloud-based co-working management software designed to automate all your co-working space operations. Besides its ability to automate everything in your co-working space, such as billing, invoicing, door access, or contract signatures, what makes Archie stand out is that its software is not only extremely powerful, but very easy to use, not to mention their beautifully designed mobile and conference room apps. So, if you want to optimize your co-working space in a fast, efficient, and user-friendly way, then be sure to check out archieapp.co for all the solutions to your co-working space needs.
Hi, Co-working Assembly. I'm here today in London, in Black Horse Road, actually. So, for anyone who's not familiar, it's northeast of central London. Yeah, can we say northeast? I am here at Creative Workspace with Elena, who is the community manager, and she will tell us a bit more about everything. She's been a guest on the podcast already, and she's heavily involved with the Co-working Assembly. And she's Italian like me, so this is a podcast I'm really looking forward to. So, Elena, thank you first of all for having us today here.
Thank you very much for coming.
And please introduce yourself, your role, and a little bit about the space where
we are. Okay, let's do the job interview first. So, I'm Elena. I'm a manager, community manager at Creative Works. As Kathy was saying, yes, we're based in the heart of Waltham Forest Borough, that is the cultural borough for London this year. We are based in Black Horse Road, that will become soon the Creative Enterprise Zone of North London, as the Mayor of London said. So we are kind of in the hearth of art in Waltham Forest. Our co-working space is a two-floor Art Deco building. Previously, it was like a RAF building. We were building like parts of airplanes, from what I was told. And now it's like the house of like more than 90 companies that are working in the film industry, creative arts, graphic design, marketing, and all sorts of like creative bit and vibes. We also have people working in tech. We have IT, software developer, hardware developer as well. So we have kind of a weird and a very wide range of members, because we believe that creativity comes from the mix and match of people that are curious to learn about each other and what they do, and not just a job title. And sometimes that is missing in the creative world. So having people that talk over a coffee in the kitchen area, and then just discovering things that they didn't know about before. So that's something that we're really proud to have here.
I couldn't agree more. I come from a background like a more creative fashion and everything else background, and I transition into technology. And although I like to define myself as a disruptor and, you know, bringing one thing to another, and I absolutely love cross-pollination, there's actually so many things that we have in common. And I absolutely love speaking to, like you were saying, you know, hardware developer or software developer, or especially UX designer, that they really understand the creativity, but they also mix it with
practicality
and
pragmatic,
you know, one two, and I'm like, yeah, but we can design the one in this way and the two in this other way, and I absolutely love it. Yes. So there were quite a few people in here today, actually, considering it's Friday and it's sunny. I was very surprised. Yeah. I know it is sunny in London. It does happen if anyone is listening from outside of it. So quick question about actually your community. So you are the community manager, you said in here,
correct.
You've been here more than 2 years, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Correct.
I would like to talk a bit more about how your community is. Who is your community? Is your community made of locals, or do people travel quite a bit to come to this borough?
I think after the pandemic, we saw a lot of like a shift in our community members, and we're actually, it was actually quite interesting to see how that started. So when the work from home became like a sort of mandatory requirement from the government, and then it became like a sort of, if you cannot work from home, just like, you know, work from somewhere else. I think specifically in this area, CreatorWorks actually have had a lot of like neighbors just like dropping their kitchen chairs and just like buzz in and say, hey, I really need a space where I can actually meet people or just stay outside my kitchen or my one bedroom apartment. Because that's the you know, the downsides of living in London as well. It's like small spaces, like really constrained. And when you have to work like all the time, you don't have like, this, you know, you don't have, you know, your private and your personal life and professional life separated. You have one in one go. So that was like the main shift that we saw. Like now 90%, 99% of people that are in here, so we are 87% capacity at the moment. They are from the Waltham Forest Borough, from Enfield, from Tottenham. So really, for who is not in E17 or London-based area, they're really like boroughs that are like 20 minutes far from here. So it's really a pleasure to see people like, you know, meeting people like around the borough and say, hey, on a Sunday morning, it's like, I see you, I know you.
Which is really nice because I used to run a co-living space, and I also think that co-living and co-working spaces are not just spaces which are communities in themselves, but then they also become more like an enlarged communities. And yeah. Then you say, oh, I work with these guys, and or I, you know, I really love to go there for breakfast. You want to meet on Sunday, and we are doing this and we are doing that, and then the community grows. Yeah. So you touch upon the fact that some of your, a lot of your members arrive with the pandemic, etc. And I know that currently we still have some regulation of some days work from home, some days coming here. And I know that you're not always at all full capacity also because of some of these regulations.
Yeah.
So how do you combine both your physical and digital community? Do you also run some sort of digital events, or is it only in-house?
No. So because of the pandemic, we had to restructure and redesign a little bit our offer. So it was literally like a journey because it was like a trial and error process. So we introduce stuff, we remove things, we add processes, we redesigned the entire onboarding processes. So it was like really like still a moment of like kind of experimenting and see how the community is reacting to that, because the ultimate goal is like the customer expectations and the customer you know service. This is how we see the our leading this co-working spaces. But so we decided to you know, thankfully we applied for a couple of grants in the borough, and we managed to secure a business support program for our members. Just because first we couldn't organize in-person events or networking events, and therefore we decided to go with the consultants like it's called Yvette. She's an amazing consultant. She understood what we were experiencing. And we decided to design a program that was useful for our members to just, you know, log in once every month, attend a class on like, you know, different topics like business growth or marketing or vision, how to build your vision. So very much focused on like how you build and grow your business. And that was completely free. So normally outside, you know, could be like a more than £500 an hour type of service. Everyone was, you know, able to kind of apply for free. And we still have recordings that we shared internally, and people like are super thankful for it. The response was really high. And then since last year, so this program became like a sort of like a, you know, our stone, like a milestone, like a pillar that we build around like this support that we can actually offer. On the other hand, we do have in-person events when it's possible. At the moment, there are no specific restrictions, but we're also very much aware of the situation and the sensitivity of everyone. So we do have once a month gathering, like a beer month with the co-workers in our breweries and down the road. But we also have local charities that we are working with. So the East End Trades Guild, for example, that is like one of this, the East London Guild of local makers. And we are kind of offering the venue for them to kind of talk and chat. Our members are part of it. Every physical event that we are going to organize, it's going to be open to our members. And in the future, we are also thinking about more entertainment. So having like a little bit of fun, because it's like we miss having a little bit of fun. And we're working with the Stowe Brothers cinema. And we're thinking about like a more community-led cinema night.
Amazing.
They will be open to the community, not just the members, but to all the community in Black Horse Road and Wilton Forest. So it'll be fun.
I'm sure. I mean, you just said this is the borough of culture.
Yeah.
So if you bring something that is even more culturally related, I'm sure that would be a big success.
Yeah.
Now, the community, this word comes all the time when we talk about, obviously, co-living, co-working. I mean, for me, it's the co in front of everything, right? Mm-hmm. So it's co-working, co-living. It's all about community. You are a community manager, and it's a role that is, for me, always very underrated, even, in all the events that is co-working, whatever, co-living, whatever. We always talk about community managers, community facilitators, and it's such a hard job to have, and a lot of time people don't understand it because it's a cross between being a manager, being a friend, being a brother, being a sister, being a mom, being everything.
Therapist,
everything. And it's like, oh, but you're just a community manager. Yeah,
I wouldn't say just.
Yeah. It's such a hard one. And from a community manager to another, I always wonder, what is your, if you have one, modus operandi method, however you want to call it, to really assess, if we want to say, and then onboard the right member to, build a strong community or at least not a weak community, if we want to call it this way. Because in my past experiences, I noticed that if you have a lot of people here, so it's a little bit harder. But when you have a smaller community like I had, just one wrong, person or entity, and literally just it's
breaks
so
everything.
Easy. Yes, it's so easy to break that balance and that, environment and energy that you maybe spend so much time creating.
I think I understand where you're coming from, like with this question. So we do. I don't know if I have a framework, like as a business consultant could talk about. I think more, there are a few things that we are looking into. First of all, if the person that comes through the door, let's say embrace our values of community, of being open, of being respectful for everyone's belief and sexuality as well. So that's the first stepping stone to kind of just like open the doors and step in. So if you're, a valuable community oriented member, like I think that's already like a good, good card to have to enter. I would say the first thing is like talking to the members or talking to the people that are coming for a viewing. And you can tell already if they are keen to share, to explore, to know other members, and that makes it, it's just the personality, the attitude, even if it's just talking to other members and be open and transparent and say, hey, I don't know what you're talking about, can you explain it to me? So there's always like this layer of like everyone was on the same boat, I would say, type of feeling. So very friendly, very curious. And we had in the past a couple of people that were like not really embracing the value and the philosophy of it. But it's also truth that it's kind of, you know, these people, maybe they are okay for other type of environment. So, and there's no harm in that. So for us, it's like, it's okay. We have, you have a 1 month notice. So for us, it's fine. We tend to, well, we never kicked anyone out. We very much believe that we have a manifesto of like respecting each other's beliefs, as I said. And there's a code of conduct that you have to sign and kind of follow.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it, well, then, you know already your answer. And I think that or that having a code of conduct already that say to people like how we behave and how we want our members to be in the community, it's very helpful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as much as we all like to be free, and I also do love to feel free, etc. But I am a huge fan of systems. I think that is because they gave me, I don't want to say security and stability, but it's like, okay, so there is a system. If I follow this system, it's okay. And I go this way. And I think this is the love for systems, setting up systems and being around systems.
No, I hear you.
It's, it's something that we, made us bond straight away. Mm-hmm. And I know that in your 2 years in here, you've set up a lot of systems, operationals, but also you implemented more tech and everything else, which I, is another thing that we both love very much.
Yeah.
And I would like to ask you, what tech do you use right now to serve your community or to also, elevate actually the community experience in this space? And what else would you like to have and add and implement even further that can help with the role that you're doing? And again, to deliver a better customer or member experience to your members?
I think that's a very good question, because it's like sometimes it's not very well like kind of explained or like asked to people when they start working in a co-working space. Such a new industry.
Yes.
So especially me, like I'm coming from like a public sector. So when I've been thrown into the co-working community, even if I was around since 2014, it's just like I didn't know what was the technology around that. So I came from SAPs and Oracle based and I was like and I was designing like digital transformations on that base, so it's like my setup was already like, okay, let's see the technology, let's see what I can implement, let's see what I can automate. And and I think that's where our goal is, to implement our automation service and automation kind of strategy. At the moment we are using Officer Indeed. It's a brilliant software that we are using. Of course, it's like a very new software as per the industry, but the customer care is amazing. Like every time that I don't understand anything, I'm just like chatbots, and then I receive like a blood boy is amazing. My account manager is like he hates me at some point because I'm very curious on how things are working, because when you know the context within your operating, you can actually build amazing things.
Absolutely.
So what we introduced the first things first was a hot desking that could actually be booked by hours online through an app, easy, straight. So all our members that are using hot desking membership, they actually can book just by the hours. They come over, they have their desk booked, nobody's like bothering them, easy. If you're not a member, you can actually book online like a day pass straight away. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to register. Of course, you have to pay straight away because it's, it's for security reason as well, health and safety and stuff like that. But you can go on our website and you can book straight away like a day pass. And if you don't want to for a day pass, but you are a consultant and you want to use, you need a meeting room, for example, for a couple of hours, or maybe you have, we had people having interviews and they didn't want to take it from the bedroom. And so it's like, can I come over for like an hour? It's like, obviously, yes, you can. And you just book it through the website. And that's for us, I think that was the added value that we created during the pandemic. And I can see the benefit now because we have people that are coming every day through a day pass or through meeting room bookings, and they're not members. So it's more than 100 people through, you know, from February 2020 kind of use this type of ways of being contacted in the community. And they always be part of the community. So yeah, so it's just like, this is what we have at the moment. For the future, we are talking about like more automation. So we design our onboarding processes. I love UX as well. So I use my Miro board to create like my customer journey and understand where are the flaw and then where, you know, where we can improve definitely. But ultimately is like listening to the customer. So we have, I have in place like a very friendly, open conversations with everyone. And I'm always, always open to criticism because I think every feedback counts. And if also the negative one, I don't particularly tend to call them negative, but they are feedback.
Yeah.
So, and it's useful for us to go ahead and say, oh, you know what? Maybe we can actually, I don't know, introduce extra hours, or we can introduce like membership just for the meeting rooms.
Absolutely.
So just having these type of conversations and try and learn and remove or add. Yeah.
I mean, we both know we are big lovers of tech, and what I really love about tech is exactly what you're saying. Like everything we think about, we just think, you know, I'd love if we could do that. So there is someone that is either designing it or they are happy to design it for you. And never, I mean, coming from a creative industry where I used to do hair and I used to manage hairdressers backstage in fashion shows, never would have ever thought that I would be here sitting down say, I love data. I want to analyze data. I want to have a look at data and understand how do my members behave.
Yeah.
As in, you know, where do they use the space the most? What do they do? You know, like, how can I also make this space better so that their experience is better? You know, do they need more light? Do I notice that maybe, you know, when it's sunny, it's used in one way. When it's not sunny, it's used in another way. You know, when it's dark, it is one way. When it's, when it's the weekend, it's another way. Yeah. Meeting rooms, morning, afternoon, everything. Like, what can I do to also better serve?
Absolutely. Also, because it's like a 24/7 building, we normally do activities only when the staff members are here. So now we are kind of talking through possibilities of like having different approaches to how do maybe, you know, create more events or like make sure that other people can use the meeting rooms when staffs are not here, staff members are not here. So it's literally an ongoing conversation. So when you are when you have a co-working space, and especially if you're not one of the big brands or a chain, or you have like tons of money and, you know, fundings, like you have to be inventive, you have to be creative. And one thing that we actually started during the pandemic is a collaboration with other co-working spaces in the area, because we have like 3-4 co-working spaces around here, and all of them have different, you know, unique selling points that we don't have. Well, collaborations that I think works very well is the one with Yonda. It is the climbing center. They are also makerspace and a co-working space.
Yes.
They have an amazing space. They are amazing people. So, but we cannot offer what they are offering. And on the other hand, we have maybe meeting rooms that can be useful for their members. So what we are doing is a partnership where our members have like discounted membership for the climbing center and the yoga studios, and they have, you know, discounted membership for our meeting room. So It's like trying to find each other unique selling points, creating a sort of a collective. And this is what actually also Waltham Forest Borough is kind of looking into, more affordable workspaces.
Yes.
And that's why as Creative Works and Switchboard, we are starting this conversation with other co-working space, Yonder and others in the main yard as well, like in the area, in Waltham Forest area, to kind of meet, know each other, know what we are offering, what are our strengths, and how we can collaborate with each other.
Yes.
So I think it's that's the way forward.
Yeah.
And this is the first time actually that this is happening. So, and seeing what the London Co-working Assembly is doing was actually very useful to have Bernie, for example, coming over on Wednesdays and have a chat in our first kickoff of this collective. So it's useful to see that, you know, more and more workspaces are popping up, and collaborations can happen.
Absolutely. In the words of my colleague Christian, that he absolutely loved this concept, he always says, we're moving forward, we're moving away from competition, and we are moving more towards co-petition, where we collaborate with our competitors into brackets. But instead of looking at them as competitors, as you were saying, they're looking more as collaborative competitors in a sort of way. So competition, where instead of fighting each other, we actually put each other's strength together. You know, like if I want to be a member at Yonder because I also like climbing, I'm not going to leave that space to come here. But if we can both work together, I might use both spaces, and same thing for your as well. So definitely integration, collaboration.
Also, like keeping the money in the borough.
Yeah.
That's something that is
the
community and brings back to that community. So all the local cafes that are coming around here, all the, you know, everything that happens around, like, and it stays in the borough and it helps the economy of the borough.
Absolutely.
So we, like, this is why, for example, all our suppliers are locals.
Mm-hmm.
So our coffee is from Wood Roastery Coffee down the road. Our milk is, oat milk is from Minor Figures, that is like two blocks ahead. We do have like a dairy milk from a farm in Essex, but because there's no farms, or at least I haven't found them.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we try to kind of use less of like big delivery brands and more local independent producer, because we are a local independent business. So
yeah, so I strongly agree as well. And to wrap up, I guess creating community to stay stronger in a community, to strengthen the community, to then give back to the community,
mm-hmm.
which then turns around to give back to you again anyway, because then you want to live here. It makes a place where you are better, nicer, you know more people, you feel more at home. And so there is something that I think an association is working on, which is called switching, part of the 15 minute cities that I'm a big fan of, where they want to switch commute to community.
Oh, nice.
So from commute to community.
Nice.
So before you spend a lot of time commuting, now you create something in within that 15 minute journey or even less. And so you spend more time on your community than on the commute. And I think that's really great.
Yeah, but this is what we see as well. Like people work, very cool people work in corporates. They cannot go back to the office, but comes here.
Yeah.
So also give the opportunity to big corporate to experience the community.
Absolutely.
You know, a little bit, you know, by comparison. I don't know. It's just like, it's nice to see this changes.
I'm a huge fan of work from anywhere.
Yeah.
And not work from home. I'm not a big fan of that, but maybe we'll have another, another podcast on that. And I think it's about 5:30 in London right now.
It's for a beer.
Yeah, it's a Friday afternoon, so I think it's beer o'clock. And thank you very much for having us today, for your time on the podcast. And I'm looking forward to the next podcast.
Thank you very much, folks. Bye.